just a sip of wine. It's summertime. Sweet summertime.
Well, the exhibition is over with. Summer's not over yet, though. We are into the month of August. It's only the 4th, and the Riders go into this bye week in a winning way that so many of the fans of the Green Zone postgame show were just overjoyed to see that pounding the Montreal took Saturday night.
This was their first game where really all phases of the game were clicking on all cylinders.
That was spectacular. I'm telling you, they just took the thunder and lightning right out of Montreal, and they're bringing her home.
Trevor Harris is quite simply the best quarterback in the CFL.
The receivers were great. Harris was great.
What a terrific game from start to finish.
That's a good way to go into the bye week with the Riders on such a winning record right now. 7-1, two up in the West right now, and taking up O'Levi Mitchell and the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who come to town a week from Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. That'll be an early afternoon game, too, 1 o'clock on the Saturday. And the two heavyweights, two best quarterbacks right now in the league going head-to-head. That's going to be fun. It's also a family day, too, with a few extras being thrown in there. Lots of tickets left, though. Let's hope that it's sold out by the time it rolls around. And let's hope that the wildfire season has kind of gotten a bit better by then, too, as there's still a lot of haze and smoke in the air. Not so much for us today, but wildfire season has totaled 439 wildfires this year so far, well above the five-year average of 348. And there are 82 active wildfires right now across Canada, over 700 fires burning. And plenty in the U.S. too, especially in California right now. But I was noticing some of the footage from Boston. Smoke was so bad on the weekend that it grounded everyone at the airport there for a short time. And the Las Vegas trip looked pretty hazy, kind of like it was for us a week ago. But what's with July? It was nowhere near as hot as we would like it. A lot of people said, come on, where's summer? It was warmer in May and June. What's in store for us after these showers the next few days? Could August get hot? Joining me now is Environment Canada's David Phillips. Welcome, sir, to the show.
You set up that so well. I was just enjoying what you were saying about the smoke and the heat. And you're right about July. I mean, my gosh, I look back in May. I'm still shaking my head about the fact that summer came in May. I said, oh, well, wouldn't it be awful if May was what your summer was? But, you know, you had more days above 30 in May than you had in all of June and July.
Wow.
Come on. I don't think that's ever happened before. And you're right about July. July actually was, you know, we had 3 days above 30. So there were a couple of those warm days. And in fact, I think the warmest day of the entire summer was sometime in July there. I think it was on the 9th of July. But overall, when you stuck a thermometer into Regina, it came out to be about almost a degree cooler than normal. So, and precipitation was down. And I think the reason we're seeing so much smoke, I mean, the winds, of course, and the fires are blazing up there in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta. And yes, you're right. There are some California fires. So all those governors who blame Canada for their smoky summer, hey, it's all blended together. There's some Arizona fires and there's some California fires. It's just North American smoke.
Well, but I got to ask you, David, here now as we move into this month of August here, we got a few good weeks of summer to go here. We're off to a bit of instability today with some showers and thunderstorms, but really the next 2 or 3 weeks, how do you see it?
Well, Greg, you're right about this week. I mean, it looks like a lot of instability. We had a threat of thunderstorms yesterday and rain in Regina. Didn't get any, but there were showers in the province. And we see that period this week looks a little unstable. You're right. There's a low pressure area that will tap into that moisture, the instability, and produce some thunderstorms and cooler temperatures, very cold up in the north, and it'll draw in some of that cold. But hey, that's not what the rest of the August into September is going to look like. Our models, and the American models are saying the same thing. We think that August is going to be warmer than normal, so forget this week, but it's going to come back. If you've left your holidays to August, don't fret. We haven't used up all your summer-like weather yet. And in fact, Greg, even the longer term, I know there's a lot of uncertainty, but the longer you look ahead, but in look at August, September, October. Now, I would guarantee you're going to have frost in September sometime. You're going to maybe have a skip of snow before the pumpkins come out at the end of October, but that doesn't mean that the August, September, October are not going to be gorgeous. And we think it's going to be warmer than normal, hey, a little wetter than normal, which I think will help to clear the air and help farmers. They always like a little rain. So my sense is don't write the final chapter on summery-like weather. We still have a lot of summer to come.
David Phillips from Environment Canada, as always, you bring me good news at some point or another in our discussion. I thank you for the month of August.
You're so welcome, Greg.
Here we are at the start of a short work week and some rain contend with here today. Shannon Moody from Environment Canada suggesting showers for most of southern Saskatchewan, at least today.
Yeah, so we're looking at a very unsettled pattern for today and tonight through much of southern Saskatchewan. So we have an impulse tracking through that's bringing showers with embedded thunderstorms. With that being convective, there's going to be varying amounts of like how much rain falls, but it looks like in general, like most of southern Saskatchewan is going to get some kind of rain over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever say no to rain. I know a lot of my farming friends who've been vacationing in a little over the last few weeks, enjoying some downtime while the crops have been growing, seem to be headed back to the farm now and preparing for the coming harvest here. It's not too far off now. There's some sad news over the long weekend. If you're a fan of WKRP in Cincinnati, you probably remember Lonnie Anderson. She apparently passed away from an acute prolonged illness. That's all they're saying. She would have been 80 on Sunday. She played Jennifer Marlowe on WKRP.
Morning, Jennifer.
Morning, Herb.
Any calls?
No.
Messages?
Nope.
Mail?
None.
How about lunch?
No lunch either.
Dinner?
Busy.
Okay, how about later in my place?
You're married, Herb.
Oh, yeah. I'm Andy Travis, the new program director. Sorry, I got a meeting. We'll talk later. If you last that long. Nice fellow.
One of the best. Would you like to see the big guy?
The big guy?
The skipper, the chief, the head honcho, the jerk who runs this place?
Yeah, she was pretty sweet on that show, 1978 till 1982. WKRP in Cincinnati had most of us tuning in, and the character of Jennifer Marlowe was originally supposed to be much dumber than portrayed. But Lonnie said, no, I'm not interested. And they thought, okay, let's rework the character. And she said she wanted to be the smartest person in the room, and she kind of comes off as the smartest person in that clip there, didn't she? Before landing WKRP, she actually auditioned to play Chrissy in Three's Company, but she lost that role to Suzanne Summers. And Lonnie, after WKRP, might be best known for her face on the cover of the tabloids all through the 80s. That was all because of her marriage to Burt Reynolds. They got hitched in 1988 after years of dating. And then the divorce in the early 90s became one of the ugliest in Hollywood. And it took almost 20 years for that divorce to be completely settled. Well, some of you may be still on vacation. Others just hanging out with the kids, still out of school, or maybe you're in work now, getting back there for this short work week. On a high as a Rider fan after the big victory in Montreal, winning 34-6. I was a little surprised, though, this morning when I saw my lineup here that my buddy Belton Johnson, our Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst, was going to be joining me to talk about the game, because I know from his social media feed he's been on holidays because it's a bye week. Where are you now there, buddy?
I'm here, Greg. I'm over in Calgary.
Well, is that the extent of the trip, or are you going further than that?
Once we start making our way back towards Saskatchewan, I think Thursday, we're going to stay over there in the Cypress Hills. And we've never been that area, so looking forward to it.
Well, that's my favorite. It's our go-to camping weekend, and we're going on a couple of weekends from now. But so you went to the zoo, I see, and I bet you tried some good food. Any highlights so far on your vacation?
Oh, just wearing a little bit of green around here. All these Stampeder fans looking at me is kind of funny, but, you know, that's to be expected, I guess, with one of the best teams in the CFL, man.
Well, aren't we the very best? 7-1, up two games in the West right now. 34-6 win over the Alouettes. That killer instinct was there finally. You must have been happy with that one.
I was very happy to see it because, Greg, to be honest with you, that was the team that I was expecting week one and everything, right? And, you know, it took a few weeks to get there, but they got there. And, you know, again, I just look at this team, the injuries and, you know, things that they've been able to overcome. And they finally put it all together. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be waiting for y'all at the Green Mile here at some point. Down the road,
great. 10 games to go. Hold up there, little buddy. But quarterback Trevor Harris, 19 of 27 passes, 289 yards, 2 touchdown passes. I really like his accuracy. That guy, is he the best quarterback? I know Bo Levi's coming a week from Saturday and doing pretty good himself. Is Trevor Harris the best quarterback in the CFL right now?
I'm going to say he's the best right now, being that, you know, it's one thing with the completion percentage, right? I think he's, what, over 74 number of games here. But, you know, again, lately the deep shots he's been taking, like, the balls have been so accurate where the receivers are able to catch the ball and keep running, right? So it's not like they catch the ball behind him or anything, had to stop. It's just pinpoint accuracy. And the deep shots, to me, when you beat team with big plays, it just deflates the other team.
Well, this bye week comes along at a good time because some of our players are still hurt. We haven't even seen the best of the Riders yet, have we?
I don't think we have, to be honest with you. Like you said, just the injuries and things. I'm just waiting. You know, they're in such a good spot right now. Because as to see them further progress, you start getting some of those injured guys back. And once those guys are back, it's just the whole team overall is going to be so much better, just down the road here.
Well, look, enjoy the rest of your vacation. We'll talk the Ticats a week from Saturday, my man. Thank you so much.
Hey, looking forward to it. Have a good one, Greg.
Well, the Queen City X is out of the way. It looked like there was a good turnout for Mr. Kim Mitchell and the fireworks to end it all. I know some of you were commenting on the X on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page. Marcy Moffitt said, hey, it was a lot cleaner. She liked all the water stations because it was pretty hot. Not as many rides in her mind, though. And she thought, yeah, the food is a little pricey, but that's what you expect when you go to the fair. You know that's going to happen. Sharice Don said, pretty expensive. Not enough rides. But it felt cleaner. And Dryden James said he loved how open and less congested it was. And loved the hydration stations, but the food options also severely lacking. And mentioned that outside of the rides, not much else to do. The vendors inside, or displays, if you will, they were pretty meager. I thought the same thing about that, too, when I went looking for exhibits like the old days. But there really wasn't much of anything there. But overall, we haven't got the numbers yet on attendance, but when I was there last week, it sure was packed, and I'm curious to see how this new Queen City X did as far as attendance goes. We'll let you know when we find out here. The big movie at the box office, again, was Fantastic Four, and I was hoping to get to the Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson for lines like this.
I'll find them. This is what I do.
Says you serve 20 years for man's laughter.
You mean manslaughter?
Must have been quite the joke.
I got too busy, ended up heading out to Pasqua Lake, never got to the movies, so that's why I sent out my resident movie critic, Brett Buster. I stopped everything he wanted to do for that was going to be fun this weekend and said, go see this movie for me.
Gun
without spoiling it. Tell me, is it funny?
It is funny. It's very funny, very silly, very absurd, very much in the vein of the old, you know, Naked Gun movies, which I haven't seen since I was a kid.
Well, but Kevin Martell in the 980 CJME Newsroom spent the weekend rewatching all the
all three of them.
All the original Naked Gun. He said they all hold up well. He said he laughs. There's just so many great jokes.
Leslie Nielsen, man. There was no one else like him. And I grew up watching all of his movies.
Now, isn't that kind of where this jumps off? Leslie Nielsen's character has died clearly because Liam Neeson is now in as his son.
Frank
Drebin
Jr. Yeah. Everyone's the son of somebody in this movie. There's a great joke in the trailer where they're all kind of like leaning, like kneeling in front of their father's photo, like, God, I miss you, Dad. And then they cut to a black guy who looks at OJ and he looks at the camera and goes,
I think that was in the trailer too.
Yeah.
But so this is the fourth movie in the franchise and it goes by pretty quick because it's a short movie.
It's like an hour and 25 minutes with credits. You're in, you're out. It's very quick. It's pretty relentless. Like there's a joke pretty much all the time. You got to look in the background at some signs or just, you know, wordplay jokes, visual gags. It's pretty, pretty nonstop and it's very funny.
Now, when we get to the closing credits, they say there are some great laughs there, so don't leave.
Yeah, there's a really good mid-credit scene, and then there's another thing that happens during the credits. I got jokes playing throughout the credits. They put fake people in the credits, it's called. And then there's a post-credit scene that pays up a joke that, that happened earlier. So, yeah, I'd say it's pretty solid. I'm not blown away by it. Like, a lot of people are calling it the funniest thing they've seen in years, which I don't quite agree with. It's not very memorable to me because it all felt very Saturday morning cartoon where it was great while it was on, but do I even remember most of it? No. So I'd give it, like, a strong 7 out of 10, but I don't think it's, like, going to change comedy.
I am curious because I have spoken to other parents about this here too, but I always recall Priscilla Presley, Leslie Nielsen and the beaver jokes and all
that. The beaver makes a cameo.
It does.
Yes, it does.
So this movie too, like the previous ones, probably for an older, more mature audience.
I would say like teenagers. It's PG-13. Yeah. I mean, there's some innuendos. I mean, like they pull some Austin Powers kind of jokes that they've done in the past with X-rays and shadows.
What about Pamela Anderson? She ain't a good in this?
She's pretty funny. Yeah, she has one of the better scenes where she has to make up an impromptu jazz song to distract the villain, and I thought that was very funny.
Okay, what's next when it comes to movies? Are we almost at the end of summer blockbusters?
I mean, Nobody 2 is coming out this week.
I enjoyed the first one.
Me too. And the horror movie Weapons, which I'm seeing on Thursday, which is getting a lot of buzz. But yeah, I mean, the big movies, I mean, Fantastic Four will kind of carry us through August. And then we're into like the Oscar-y stuff.
You know what the biggest movie at the Kramer IMAX Theater was F1 in popularity. As far as all the summer blockbusters, they told us that F1 drew the biggest crowds. And that is back at the Kramer IMAX Theater on the weekend.
I really enjoyed F1. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah. For a whole week, it's returning to the IMAX. I got to see it on the IMAX the way it was meant to be seen. Brett Buster, thanks so much. Nick Gunn in theaters now.